Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com. You may see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. I also have an email list that one can join to receive a weekly announcement of the scheduled guests. I have that linked on today's date on the radio schedule page. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna at spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. If you wish to contribute to the RBN Pledge Drive, just call 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org. You may also support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website or by subscribing to the archives at a higher rate or by buying advertising if you happen to have a product or service to promote. My guest today is Al Benson. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxism in the Civil War and Lincoln's Marxist. His website is Revised History, all one word, revisedhistory.wordpress.com. Al, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You have to speak up a little bit. I'm a little hard of hearing.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Right now I can, yeah.
Okay. All righty. I'm usually very soft-spoken, but I will try and make an effort to talk really loud today. Well, I really appreciate your work. I have the first book, with Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxist, Marxism in the Civil War. And I believe that you told me that that was out of print, but I think you can still get it on Amazon.
Yes, technically that one's out of print now. But the new one, Lincoln's Marxist, is the one that was released by Pelican last July.
Okay, great. And I have that one also. I bought it as a Kindle book, and it is very good. And it's kind of an update of the original one.
Yeah, please.
It's kind of an update of the original one. You've added more information.
Yeah, we've added more information in the Pelican book.
Okay, super.
And it's a lot nicer looking format. If you've got both of them, you can judge by what they look like. And
right. Well, I think the most important thing about any book, of course, is its looks and the appeal that it would have for a purchaser. But I think the information is absolutely the most essential thing in any book. You know, I'm not much in for, you know, pictures and fluff, although pictures do add to the text. But I am more interested in the information. And you certainly put a lot of information in the first book and in the second book. So we will be going to a break in just a few moments, but tell me how you happened to get interested in the history of the Civil War. Do you live in the South?
Well, I've always been kind of interested in the war, you know, even as a youngster. As far as the part about, you know, Lincoln's involvement or the communist involvement, I didn't find that out until about 1979. And somebody sent me a news article out of the communist newspaper, the Daily World. And it had a picture of Joseph Wiedemeyer in it.
Oh, yes. Good old Joseph Wiedemeyer.
I mentioned him in the book.
Al, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, okay?
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Today is Al Benson, S-B-E-N-S-O-N. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxism in the Civil War. And the most recent book published last year is Lincoln's Marxist. His website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And Al, you were talking about Wiedemeyer, which is spelled W-E-Y-D-E-M-E-Y-E-R. And you were telling us about the fact that somebody had sent you a communist newspaper, and you say in your book, my first thought upon reading this article was, what was this communist doing in the Union Army?
Yeah, exactly. That was my first thought, you know. And at the time, which was 1979, I had no other information to put with this, but I hung on to it. You know, I stuck it in the file, and I hung on to it. I still got it, and it was a couple of years before I heard anything else. And then I ran across a newspaper out of Shreveport, Louisiana, called The Counselor, and it turned out that the man who published that had done some research in this area, and he had come up with the names of four other communists that ended up in Lincoln's armies. So I thought, well, there's got to be something more to this, you know, than what I've seen.
Sure.
So then, go ahead.
And you mentioned that Wiedemeyer was an associate of Karl Marx.
Yeah, he was.
Also, that he was the father of Marxist education in the United States.
Yeah, he was that, too. And so, anyway, what I started doing, I went to the public library at that point, and I ran across a book with the names of every Union general that they ever had during the war, and I Xeroxed it all off, and I started going through them and checking off all the names that sounded, you know, foreign. And I had quite a list, and as I started checking these people out one by one as I was able. Now, a lot of them were Germans that were born here, or other nationalities that were born here, and so they didn't qualify, but there was a fairly good minority of them that came from Europe out of those socialist revolts in 1848, and almost without exception, these people ended up, you know, in the Union Army or as people in the Republican Party that worked to get Lincoln elected. And, you know, so then I start thinking to myself, you know, why are all these socialists and communists, you know, what is it in Lincoln that they see that so enamors them that they all go out and support him, you know? And so it's been an interesting study going through all this, and now there's a lot of material on the Internet about this. When I started out, there was no Internet.
And look how long it's taken. And, you know, Wiedemeyer was a former lieutenant in the Prussian artillery, and he actually wrote for the New York Tribune. And he arrived here in November 1851 in New York, along with his wife and two children, with a letter of introduction to Charles A. Dana, who was a who worked on the New York Tribune, from Karl Marx. And Karl Marx was also a regular contributor to the New York Tribune.
Yeah, he was. And here again, my one question I've asked over the years is, why isn't some of this in the history books? You know, so I have to conclude, having read a lot of history over the years, that, you know, they leave some of this material out on purpose. They don't want people to be aware of this.
No, of course not. And you talk about the 48ers, and Wiedemeyer was a part of those people, which you referred to in your first book, called the 48ers. And they basically came over here from Europe, from the unsuccessful revolutions over there. They came over here to fight in the Marxist revolution here, correct?
Yeah, that was my final conclusion. These people were not able to do what they wanted to do in Europe in 1848 and 49. They came over here and they helped Lincoln because they saw in his program what they wanted to accomplish in Europe and hadn't been able to. They managed to do it here.
Yes, and that's quite a statement, Al.
That's, you know, here again, the history books never mention any of this. The only historian that I've seen that mentions Marx and Lincoln together was that socialist historian James McPherson.
Right, where I found it also.
Yeah, you know, and he seems quite proud of the fact that, you know, Marx endorsed Lincoln, you know, and so it's, you know, you start putting, it's like a follow the dots, you know. You
sure.
go along over the years and or a jigsaw puzzle and you'll find a piece here and a piece there, and you start putting the pieces together, and I'm not overly thrilled with what I see, and in a lot of cases I think the historians have left out more than they've told us.
Well, I think that's kind of deliberate because they would like to make heroes of many of the people in early history, such as Lincoln. I mean, he's got a memorial, and it's quite an interesting memorial. And they would like us all to think that what he did was a wonderful thing, when in fact at least 622,000 people perished as a result of the Civil War. 50,000 of them were just civilians in the South, and basically what they did, they went in and they treated the South, which the North considered as a colony. They plundered the South. They executed absolute total war against the South. In other words, everything was a target. They just went through, and it was a scorched earth policy.
I just did a series of four articles on my blog spot that you just mentioned on Reconstruction and what they did to the South during Reconstruction. I mean, here again, nobody ever tells you this, you know. My contention is that, you know, Lincoln was the one that gave them the idea. Because he mentioned, and if you look at James McPherson's quote, Lincoln said, he says that Lincoln freed the freed an enchained race and paved the way for the reconstruction of a social world. Reconstruction was Lincoln's term.
Yes, so it was.
And that's what they called it. You know, why did they call it Reconstruction? It wasn't. I mean, if you look at what they did to the South, it was more deconstruction than Reconstruction.
Yes. Yeah. And the South was more Christian and had a totally different mentality, different way of life, correct?
Yeah, you had a different, and this is one of the reasons for the war that nobody ever mentions. There was a whole different theological worldview in the South than there was in the North. In the North, you had the Unitarians, who had been there really since the early 1800s, a little before maybe. And although they were not, you know, numerically powerful, there were a lot of them that were in positions of influence, college people, journalists, you know, these kind of people, and they were in a position to influence the culture, which is what they did. If you look at the Unitarian faith, I mean, I'm a Trinitarian Christian. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Unitarians don't believe this. They believe that God is there. They have no use for the idea of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And so for them, you know, the state is the highest mode of expression.
Right.
God doesn't really have that much to do with it. Man runs the state, and therefore the state is the highest expression of authority. And so for these people, and it shows today with what the federal government's doing, they think that Washington, D.C. can do everything, should do everything. You know,
right.
And that's where they're at. They've been there since the late 1850s. And here again, this is something that people are not taught.
Right.
You go in and read some of the material, comments here and there that some of these Union generals made, you know, during and after the war, and their whole theme is predicated on national authority.
Right.
You know,
centralization of power in
yeah.
a federal government.
Centralization of power, the federal government calls all the shots on everything. The state's basically district management for the federal government. That's all they are. And
right.
That's a whole different perspective than what the Southerners had.
Right. They worshiped God, whereas the Marxists worship the state. And
yeah.
That's a very interesting concept. We are going to go to a break, and I'm looking over your four-part article, and of course I've got the book also up in my Kindle. And I really appreciate your work. It's just fabulous, and I hope that our listeners will look for your book and will read these articles on your website. All righty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Today is Al Benson. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxist, Marxism in the Civil War, and Lincoln's Marxist, which was released last year. And his website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And you were talking during the break, I was looking at your article, and I also looked up Carl Schurz, because he had a lot to do with what happened following the Civil War. Basically, he was the Secretary of the Interior, and he's the one that implemented several socialistic programs and policies. And he came right over from, you know, he's a pal of Marx, and he came over here and then, became a lawyer, became a Freemason, and did all of these things, and then got into transferred the Office of Indian Affairs to the War Department. I mean, he did a lot of very socialistic things, correct?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he was one of the people that helped write the 1860 platform for the Republican Party.
Yes.
And he was
a Marxist.
Yeah. Well, he was. I don't know if he was a Marxist. He was at least a socialist.
Okay.
I mean, there's pretty, you know, I don't know if all these folks were Marxists, but 99.9% of them at least were socialists, and a good number of them were Marxists.
Okay.
A lot of people don't understand, if you read some of what's on the Internet, you read about the revolts in Europe in 1848, and, supposedly these people were fighting for freedom and democracy, and, you know, it's all the catchwords that they usually use. What they were doing, especially in Germany, Germany was a decentralized country. You had several little German states, and each one ran itself. What these people were trying to do was to centralize that all under one government. So you can see why what Lincoln did went along with their mindset. So their idea of freedom and democracy was to centralize government. You know, one government rules the whole country rather than, you know, several smaller local governments, even each taking care of their own area. And so that's their idea. That's their thing. And that's what they promoted in Germany. That's what they were trying to do in Germany and in Italy and in some of these other countries. And here again, that's the history books never go into that aspect of it.
Right.
I have major problems with most of what passes for history today.
Right. And of course, this is deliberate. This is part of the dumbing down of America, because if a people do not know their history, then they don't know what's going on now, and they just kind of get swept along in the tide. But if accurate history is essential.
If you don't know where you've been, then you don't know where you are, and you don't know where you should be going.
Exactly. All righty. Let me just read what you said in part one of your article, which is called Karl Marx's Reconstruction of a Social World. And you said the term reconstruction seems to have been the brainchild of Karl Marx when he wrote of Abraham Lincoln in 1865 that he was, and I quote, the single-minded son of the working class who had led his country through the matchless struggle for the rescue of an enchained race and the reconstruction of a social world, which you also already referred to. But, I mean, this is what Marx was promoting. And Lincoln was actually a lawyer, and he had ties to New York. He had ties particularly to the railroad industry.
Yeah, he was a lobbyist for the big railroads.
Yeah, he was a scoundrel.
Yeah, I mean, so he wasn't really anything much different than a lot of these politicians in Washington today.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're lobbying for their friends, and what they do makes big bucks, you know, for their friends in the industrial establishment.
Right.
And so that's why they do it. They pass these laws so that it benefits their friends, and this has been going on since Lincoln. I mean, this is nothing new, you know.
He just institutionalized it, right?
Please?
He just institutionalized the whole program.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he pretended to be, he was promoted as this, you know, guy grew up in a log cabin and, you know, just humble, just like the rest of the people, but he certainly wasn't. And if a person looks like a socialist, acts like a socialist, implements legislation like a socialist, then he's probably a socialist, right?
Yeah, I don't know that Lincoln ever belonged to any socialist organization. We've never found anything like that. But the mindset was there. And if the mindset's there, it doesn't make any difference whether you belong to an organized group or not. You're going to act that way. You know, with the laws you pass, with the people you try to influence, with the people you put in positions of power, you know, if you think like a socialist, you're going to, like you say, you're going to act like one.
Right. All righty, Al, we're going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357, TexasReady.net. And remember, nothing good comes from a can.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Al Benson. He is a co-author with Walter Kennedy of Lincoln's Marxist. It's his most recent book. His website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And in part two of your of this four-part article, which you entitled "Karl Marx's Reconstruction of a Social World," you indicated that the master plan that they implemented in the South involved several things. And as I was looking through this, I thought, wow, that's just exactly the same kind of a situation that we find with the U.S. military going into Iraq or any place else. They just go in and they implement these same kinds of things. So why don't we go over this this list you have?
Okay. One thing I have contended is that Reconstruction never really ended. They reconstructed the South. Now, the federal troops left in 1877. Outside of the public school system, you know, they kind of backed off. They left that in the South. You didn't have that before. In the South, you didn't have public schools much before the war. And somebody's trying to call. The first thing that they did when they came down as part of Reconstruction was they implemented a public education system, pretty much like what we have now. They brought all the northern school teachers down, all books rewritten, you know, so that they could basically brainwash the southern kids. And that's what they did. And when the troops left in 1877, the public school system stayed. It's still here, you know, and
Prior to that, they were homeschooled, correct?
Before that, they were either homeschooled or private schools. Now, you might have a public school here in the sense that, you know, in a particular town, a group of parents got together and hired a teacher to take care of their 20 or 30 youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was okay because you had total parental control in a situation like that, not what you had later.
Right.
You know.
Now, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because in the Philippines, after the U.S. invaded the Philippines in 1898, they also implemented an education system and to indoctrinate the Filipinos. And, of course, they did it in Germany and in any place where they wanted to indoctrinate people
to believe this particular thing. The public education system is their indoctrination system to make sure the youngsters are brought up with the facts they want them to have, minus the facts they don't want them to have, you know, and then they turn them loose at the end of 12 years or 16 or whatever. And these kids don't know nothing from nothing and think they're brilliant.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, I mean, it's not the youngsters' fault. I mean, we homeschooled our kids, my wife and I. By the time my son was 4 years old, we realized that our kids were not going into the public school system. I'd seen enough. We were in New England at the time, and I'd seen enough that there was no way. And so we either did it in Christian school or we homeschooled them, depending on our situation. And when we homeschooled them, I was the one that picked their history out. Because there was a lot less at that point to go, you know, to go with than there is now. There's a lot more material out there. But, you know, I did the best I could with what I could come up with, and at least it wasn't public school history.
Good for you.
Which isn't really history. It's fables.
Yes. Correct. All righty. So that's one of the first things that they do in any area is to take over the education so that they can indoctrinate people. They also take over the culture. They introduce things that the population wouldn't have previously adopted.
They've been trying to remake the culture down here for 150 years. And they've used the schools to help. Well, you probably read articles just like I have about some youngster wears a T-shirt to school with a Confederate flag on it. They send him home or they suspend him or he has a Confederate flag
terrible.
In the back of his... Yeah, he has a Confederate flag in the back of his truck and, you know, they suspend him from school. I mean, well, they do this all over the country now, but, I mean, it's noticeable in the South. I mean, and it's part of the cultural war. You make these people ashamed of their heritage. They tell them, well, this flag stood for slavery. Your ancestors are all racist. You should be ashamed of them. You know, and on they go with this stuff. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in the North, and it bothers the daylights out of me. I can only imagine what it does to somebody who was born and raised down here. You know, and they don't like it. My solution is, when they do this to your kids, take them out of the public school.
Yes.
Find an alternative way to educate them. It can be done. I mean, when we homeschool our youngsters, you know, it costs us about $400 a year to get the books and the things that we needed. And that's all. You know,
mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a lot of money to work with. We didn't have deep pockets. So we had to do what we could with what we had, but it can be done fairly inexpensively, and it doesn't cost you thousands of dollars.
Right.
It needs to be done. You know, you've got to get these youngsters out from under the influence of this system.
Oh, I agree completely. Now, On this list, number one, you said taxing the prostrate South bone dry, which was basically a redistribution of the wealth.
Yeah, they took, you know, between taxes and what they could confiscate, whatever was left of the wealth in the South, the carpetbaggers took it over. And they made sure that, you know, people here had little or nothing to work with, which was basically the same thing they did during the war. A lot of people think that, you know, Sherman's march through Georgia was an aberration. It wasn't. That was standard Northern operating policy.
Exactly.
I mean, they did this, you know, all through the war. I mean, they started in 1861, and this was their method of operation all the way along.
Yeah, burn everything.
Burn, pillage, loot,
kill, rape.
Destroy what you can't steal. You know, and they just continued it into Reconstruction.
Right. And then number two, you said that they put the South under military rule. And Sherman had actually advocated a military dictatorship, which is what we have in other countries that the U.S. military has gone into. They've just installed a military dictatorship.
I read a book several years ago I still have called Citizen Sherman.
Duh.
And you may have it, you may know about it, but the author was a Canadian, so, I mean, he didn't have any political access to grind here. And he just, I mean, he wasn't against Sherman, but he just told the truth about him. And Sherman, he mentioned three or four places in that book that Sherman felt a military dictatorship was the best way to run a country.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and interestingly enough, there were other Union generals that felt the same way. Where do they get this mindset? I mean, we're talking about people who are educated, you know, what, 1840s and 50s? So you can see the influence that the Northern education system had on these people, whether they even realized it or not.
Right. And then you factor in the 500,000 Germans who immigrated to the U.S. following the unsuccessful socialist revolutions in 48, 49, then you see even more of that influence, you know, brought by these Marxist revolutionaries. I mean, they fit right in very well with the North.
And the vast majority of them settled up north, New York, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Right.
You know, you had some in New England, but they hit that northern tier of states, and they just landed there and went west. And their mindset was not all that different than that of the Unitarians in New England. You know,
mm-hmm.
the state runs everything. So even though these people had some differences, they had a lot of things they could agree on. They could work together.
Right.
Unitarians, the socialists, they could all work together because they had certain common agendas and goals.
Right. Now, the other thing during the Reconstruction period, number three, you said that they filled all the political offices in the South with Northerners, which is what the U.S. government does in any country that they invade.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they brought people down here. Southerners couldn't even vote. If you were a Democrat in the South, which the majority of Southerners were, you know, forget about voter registration. They're not going to register you. People wonder why the South was so overly Democratic, you know, up until the 1950s. All you have to do is go back and look at the history of Reconstruction. You'll know why.
Right. And yet a lot of people view the Republicans as conservative and, you know, the guys for small government and all this. That's a lot of rhetoric because they are the original big government folks.
Yeah, they were. You know, when you had communists and socialists in there helping found the original Republican Party, no way were those people interested in small government. They had fought against small government in Germany in 1848 in favor of big government. They wanted big government, the bigger the better.
Right.
And they still do.
Oh, for certain. They just act like they don't.
Nothing has changed.
Yep. Their rhetoric is the same thing. But basically, if you look at who promotes the legislation that leads to big government, you'll find now that both parties are doing the exact same thing.
Nowadays, there's no difference in the two parties. They're two separate wings on the same socialist bird. That's all they are. I mean, there's no difference except in the rhetoric. They're both going to take you over the cliff. The only thing is the Democrats now will do a little faster than the Republicans. But they're both going towards the same cliff, so.
Right. Now, number four, you said that they flooded the South, northern immigrants flooded the South, and they were permitted to buy up Southern land dirt cheap.
Yeah, they did. A lot of them didn't stay because they couldn't handle the climate. Either that or they were absentee landlords. They bought the land, got somebody to management, and they went back north. But what they were trying to do was, there again, redistribute the wealth to their friends. You take it out of Southern hands, you distribute it to, quote, loyal, unquote, Northerners, and if they've got most of the land under their control, they get to say what happens in the area.
Right. And you also talked about the issue, number five, you wrote, giving blacks the upper hand in dealing with whites and making sure the ignorant blacks continue to vote Republican.
Yeah. They use the ignorant black folks in the South as a way to stay in office. If you denied the white voters the ability to vote, you gave the franchise to all the black voters who really, at that point, were not qualified for it, most of them. Most of them couldn't read and write. But you had these carpetbaggers that made sure they got to vote and that they got to vote Republican. Well, you kept the Republican Party in power then. In fact, Thaddeus Stevens said that. He said, we want to make sure that the party of ascendancy, which is the Republicans, has perpetual power, and that's where they were at. They didn't care about helping the black folks down here. Reconstruction wasn't about that. Reconstruction was about making sure that the Southern blacks voted Republican and kept the Republicans in power. That's really where it was at for these people. It was all about power. Compassion had nothing to do with it.
Right, and they certainly didn't implement the war against the South, the war of aggression, to free the slaves. They could care less about them because, quite frankly, they had slaves in the North also, and
I'm sure they
their emancipation did not apply to them at all.
Yeah, Donnie Kennedy, my co-author, wrote a book about 8-9 years ago now called "The Myths of American Slavery," and he has one place in there where he notes that there were still slaves in the state of New Jersey, not many, just a handful, but still slaves, as late as 1860.
They actually had some in some of the northern states until the very end of the war.
Yeah, they didn't, slavery, everybody says, well, they've North fought to free the slaves. That's hogwash, you know, I mean. Anybody who does a little history homework and is willing to dig should be able to find out, you know, of all the reasons that they fought the war, slavery was probably the least. It was the hot button issue. I mean, they could, and it still is today. I mean, now they've taken over all the national parks that are Civil War battlefields, and they're putting the propaganda in there that the war was fought over slavery, you know. Out of about eight or nine reasons that you could list for fighting the war, slavery might have been number seven on a good day.
And they didn't really talk about slavery until a year into the war. They didn't even bring up the word. But what the propaganda piece that they used was Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. And she'd never even been to the South, and yet she wrote this really It was in a newspaper. It was serialized in a newspaper, and then somebody with a lot of money came forward, and they published it as a book. And yeah. It was the propaganda that got the war going.
Yeah,
and
she knew nothing about the South. She'd never been there.
No.
And it's interesting because these people, you had a lot of these abolitionist types in the North, especially in New England. You know, they had never been in the South. They had never been down here to see what the conditions were, to do any homework. You know, they knew really nothing about nothing.
Exactly.
When it came to it.
Al, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is Al Benson, and he is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Lincoln's Marxist. It was released last year, and his website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And you were talking about the abolitionists, and many of them lived up north. Many of them had never been to the South, didn't know anything about it. And in fact, they just didn't know what they were talking about.
If you look at the abolitionists, you'll find that you had, and here again, the history books leave this out, you had abolitionist societies in the South fact, the abolitionist movement really started in the South, in Tennessee. But these people in the South were not radicals. I mean, they wanted the abolition of slavery, but they realized that you probably need to do it in some kind of a graduated scale, that you couldn't just turn them all loose, you know, which is what they ended up doing when the North won the war, and it created chaos. And it was intended to create chaos. Gradual emancipation would have found some way to educate the blacks, and when they were ready to assume some kind of citizenship, then you could let them loose, and they could take a place in society. But interesting, I read George Booker T. Washington's autobiography several years ago, and because he'd been an ex-slave, and he commented on Reconstruction, and I put it in one of the articles there that you've got, and he mentioned that he said, even though I was young at the time, he said, I had a feeling that this program couldn't last, and it was going to do a great deal of damage to my people. And he was right.
Right. You know, it's rather interesting that you bring his name up in doing some family history research. I discovered that one of my ancestors, the Taliaferro family, actually owned Booker T. Washington's mother, and that the T in his name stands for Taliaferro.
Look, I always wondered where he got the middle name.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, somebody like him, they could have used, you know, in a Reconstruction government. And there were other blacks that were educated in the South. Not a good big number, but there were some that, you know, could have participated and could have helped out, you know, due to their education. The Republicans were not interested in them. They wanted the field hands. They didn't want the ones that had been educated and could read and write. They were afraid they might know too much. They wanted the ones they could manipulate.
Sure. Yeah, it's very interesting.
So they basically, the blacks were cannon fodder for these people.
Sure, and when the Union Army went down there...
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they had no
interest in, you know, elevating the black race, helping them, educating them, being able to make them useful in society. That didn't really make any difference to them, although the history books today tell you it did.
Sure.
But it didn't. I mean, the whole thing was keep the Republicans in power, you know, and when we've soaked it all we can out of the South, you know, we'll get out and we'll leave. Guess who's going to be stuck to have to deal with the Northerners
sure.
that have been, had it stuck to them for so many years?
Al, we do have to take a 60-second break. We will be right back after station ID.
Okay.